This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Sunday Groove. This is episode 23. If you've never listened to the show before, it's me each month with a different guest, typically tackling any kind of album or topic. It just depends on what I'm in the mood for. So this time I have a guest back. It's been a while since I've had him. He's a known Jimmy Eat World fan, a Marvel Age podcast member, a co-host of Talkin' Pop, a co-host of Talkin' WCW, and a guest on Todd Weber's Conversations Comics. Welcome, Tim Capel.
Yes, I guess you could call me a bit of a freak as a guest on Conversation Comics with Todd Weber. We got to get back to that. Thank you, David, for having me back here on your fine show, and I have to say, kind of a surprise for me to be back, and probably for anyone who knows me to hear my voice again on this show, considering that I somewhat infamously only know anything about two bands. So here we talked about them already. So
right.
How am I doing a third show with you? I guess we will find out. We'll see how this goes, right?
Right. Yeah, I really did consider us doing the one of the other bands we had considered at one point, which was The Offspring.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, well, two and a half bands I know anything about.
Right.
I revised that. We could do half a show on The Offspring.
But yes, that was once again frequent. I cannot talk. Good Lord, frequent is not a hard word, but my vocabulary is not working. Guess on Todd Weber's Conversation Comics, but didn't mean to call him a freak, but yeah, it is what it is. So,
hey, if the label fits, I'll wear it.
So I reached out to Tim not too long ago and asked him if he had any other topics. And so we'll get to that in a little bit as far as the actual topic of the episode. But as usual, I talk about a little current music, and I think Tim will at least have fill-ins on this. Is one of the current spins, the album's about to drop in, I guess, about 2 weeks, is a Jimmy Eat World album.
Yeah, so got an announcement. I'm on their mailing list, of course. Kind of old-fashioned in a way, but got the email from Jimmy Eat World fans announcing their new album. Evidently, it is called Surviving, and it will be released on October 18th. There are two singles already available that you can hear. Think you can get those, you know, on iTunes if you pre-order the album or just purchase them individually. Songs called All the Way, parentheses, Stay. Don't you love that? The song title with the parenthetical song title, right?
It always makes me laugh.
It's fantastic, and not something they're generally known for. But in any case, you've got that, and you've got a song called Love Never, which actually was released last year on this little two-song EP that they did with that and with another song called Half Heart, which is more of a ballad, and I actually really like the song Half Heart. It is not going to be carried on this new album, Surviving, which on the one hand is kind of unfortunate because it is such a good song, but it's something I've already heard, so I'm like, yeah, let's go ahead and make way for some new stuff. I have to say I'm not really in love with the song Love Never. I've never been in love with Love Never. But the new single, All the Way, parentheses stay. Kind of dig that. It's a song where I think their drummer Zach Lind really shines. Fantastic drummer, pretty cool dude too, and you really get to hear what he's capable of on this song. I think it's kind of a highlight for him particularly. So in any case, check that out if you are a fan of the band or just good music. So yeah, I just did a little promo piece there for Jimmy Eat World apparently.
Well, that was where I was going with it too, so that works perfectly. And even if you're not a fan of them, check it out. Like, I feel Go All the Way kind of channels some of the era of Jimmy Eat World that I like the best, more rocking than some of their other stuff. But it's got enough newness that I think people that might not like some singles by them might still enjoy it. So I'm calling Greg out here because he hates on them for a couple songs, and I don't think he's really listened beyond that.
I think he kind of hates on them for the right songs, honestly.
Right.
I don't think he's particularly a fan of the middle, which...
He hates that one, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm not either. I mean, I think it's fine, but had that been, like, the first song I had heard from them, or kind of the only song I had heard from them, that would not have hooked me into this band at all. Probably same story with Sweetness, which was... sort of like, for people who didn't like the middle, you kind of had Sweetness, I felt like, and I do like that better. But I mean, Bleed American, which is definitely more of a rock song, was the big hook for me. The song, not the album, I mean. And yeah, this is kind of harkening back to that a little bit with the song All the Way that we're talking about. It is certainly a pop song, but has more rock leanings, I think.
Oh yeah. It's one that grabbed me immediately. Like, some new music, I'll hear it and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good, but I don't really think about it for very long. I finish the song and then it's gone until I come across it again. Mm-hmm. But that song stuck with me. And so, like, it's been on a couple playlists now that I've made just because I dig it that much.
Yeah, a little bit of an earworm, isn't it? You hear it and you're like, I like that. I can work with that. And sort of gets stuck in your head. You hear it throughout the day, want to listen to it again, and I'm already kind of wearing it out. This is their 10th studio album, by the way, so good on them.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's one that's stuck with me a lot, and yeah, I'm dangerously wearing it out too. I try not to.
I know, that's the problem.
But I'm so bad at it. And since they only released two, and like Tim, I only really like Go All the Way. I'm not a big fan of the other songs, so it's just kind of the only one to listen to this new. But luckily, it got me to go back into their most recent album before that, Integrity Blues. And I've actually feel like I connected better with it this time. Like, I listened to it a ton this week. Mm. So
complex fraught relationship with Integrity Blues and I'm trying to avoid that this time around in terms of just managing my own expectations. I mean, there's all this stuff out there already, like the interview rounds about, oh, the album's called Surviving, what is that about, what are the themes of this album, what are you going to be exploring, what do you want people's takeaway to be, and all this, right? And it's easy to get sucked into that and to turn it into something that ultimately it isn't going to be, potentially. And I think I probably did that to some extent with Integrity Blues and, like, set myself up for disappointment, even though the songs from Integrity Blues taken individually are not bad at all. With probably one exception, I think that title track is pretty crappy. But yeah, I'm reading some of that and just letting it wash over me this time. I'm like, at the end of the day, what's it going to be? It's going to be a Jimmy Eat World album. You know, if I like Jimmy Eat World, I'm not going to go in with preconceived notions this time. I've heard two songs from it. One I really like, one I'm pretty lukewarm, and we'll see how the rest of it goes. There's a looks like 10 tracks. So not a ton, but that's often the case with them. So yeah, just trying to keep an open mind this time is I think the attitude I need to have. I don't want to turn into one of those fans who grouses about everything and essentially complains that my favorite band is not recreating my favorite album every time out of the gate. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's oh, that definitely. Gets old.
Yeah, plenty of bands do that. They do the same album over and over again. But after a while, it's like, even if you like it, it's time for something a little new.
And plenty of fans will want them to do that. And when they don't, it's like they can never be satisfied. So I have come dangerously close to turning into one of those people. And I don't like that about myself. So we will see. This comes out, when did we say? October 18th.
Yeah.
Not long at all.
And I have another release on that date that I'm just going to very briefly mention. And that's a band that every listener is probably sick of me mentioning, but I don't care. And that is Alter Bridge. they have a new album coming out very, very soon, actually on October 18th as well. And what is the name of it? Walk the Sky. Mm. They took a different approach. They have actually released 5 songs already from it. But I think it's like a 14-track album or something. So I guess that's why they did that. And that's going to help me not wear out every track. It's just kind of give me a sampling of 5
tracks.
That's
some nice bang for your buck there, like 14 songs. That's, wow, good on them.
Yeah, they do that a lot. They're, a lot of their albums are very long. Like at least 13 tracks is pretty common for them.
Okay.
And then there was one that did, I think, 16 tracks.
I mean, honestly, 12 to 14 is kind of ideal for me. That's because if there's some dross in there, you don't feel like you wasted your money. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
it gets to a point where if there can only be so many songs that you really like on an album, short of it being just kind of an all-time album for you. So the more limited that is by the number of tracks, you're like, this needs to really deliver, you know, pound for pound. There's not a lot of room for error if all you've got are like 10 tracks, you know, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's just there's not a lot of slack in there. So I like that that kind of 12 to 14. That's a good, like you're pretty much guaranteed if it's a band that you know you like, unless they went completely in a direction you don't care for, you're going to get some solid bangers, like 4 to 6 really good songs you're going to go back to. So if there's some stuff that doesn't work, you're like, yeah, it's fine. I got a lot of value out of this purchase, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and the last thing I'm going to mention as far as current is the Beatles just re-released for their 50th anniversary a remaster of Abbey Road, which is my favorite album by them.
Mm.
And as has been the case for the last couple, they've done these re-releases. They go back in and go to the original recordings, and they try to bring stuff to the front that you couldn't originally hear. So I've noticed, like, I haven't listened to both versions back to back, but it just feels like I'm hearing stuff I've never heard in the songs before, which is really cool.
Okay.
And then they also released some demos along with it. And those are always hilarious to me because a lot of times you'll hear John Lennon just talking on top of things or complaining in between songs or giggling or something. It's great.
And that's amazing because it's a little bit like being a fly on the wall. And
right.
For such a, you know, such a historic production. I mean, it's the Beatles. It's Abbey Road. I mean, come on. So that's got to be really just sort of fascinating. Even if it's the most mundane day in the life, who could care type of stuff that you're hearing, it's still, it has that elevated sense of importance to it So yeah, that's got to be wow, for people who are really into them. I know that sounds condescending. It wasn't meant to be at all. I've never delved into their discography really. That's got to be just almost like a just a hidden gem really.
It is. I know Greg and I talk about it a lot anytime one of these happens, because I know this one's not as ambitious as the last one when they reissued the White Album, which was in itself a double album. If you got the Super Deluxe, it was like over 100 songs because it was like so many alternate takes. And luckily, thankfully, it was included in the Amazon Music Unlimited parts. So just that membership. Because to buy that would have been like $100, and I'm not going to do that. So, no matter how much I love a band, I'm not paying that kind of money. So,
I'd have to really, really love the band.
I don't think I love a lot of bands, and I will not drop $100 for an album, period. 20, maybe 30, it depends on what it is, especially if it has some live video. But yeah, this one's not quite that ambitious, but it's just great if you're a fan. Check it out, at least the extra stuff. Check it out on either Amazon Unlimited, or I'm sure it's on Spotify, that sort of thing, because I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, there was one part where, like I said, they were just talking, and then they start laughing because they're like, George is being silly, and George is like the really quiet eagle, and you hear him kind of giggling and playing something crazy. And so it's probably one of those delirious 3 o'clock in the morning recordings. So yeah, it's great. And then there
Now,
was,
are you more of a Paul guy or a Lennon guy? Just talking Beatles, not their various side projects or solo stuff.
well, something that's going to be kind of embarrassing for me. Until recent years, I really didn't pay attention to which one was singing what. Like, certain songs were definitely Paul, but some songs, especially in the early stuff, I wasn't as aware of which one was singing. But in general, Paul, I'm a huge Paul McCartney fan because I think he's got the most versatile voice within the band. He can sound so different from song to song. So I like that about him. He emotes so incredibly well. Not that John doesn't, but I don't know. He's always been my favorite.
I feel like that's something I'm hearing more and more these days. And it feels like, I don't know, maybe there's been a shift where for the longest time it was like John Lennon was really regarded as, and I'm sure rightfully so, just this genius and creatively and artistically by whatever dimension. And I don't know if people are just, if it's a different generation that sees things differently or just it doesn't have the same frame of reference. I don't know, but there's probably more appreciation now for Paul McCartney's contributions. And yeah, I just think it's interesting. I mean, not that you ever want to choose one over the other, but it's like gun to your head, you have to pick who's your guy in the Beatles. And it just, I don't know. I feel like there's been some kind of change, some kind of transition that's happened just in conversations, as casual as I've been a part of them about the Beatles.
Yeah, and I think sometimes still, like, it's impossible to separate his solo stuff from your mind as well. And like, Paul's personality is just so bubbly, it's impossible not to just love him. Because he doesn't ever come off pretentious. I mean, there might be an interview back in the day where he did, but typically, like, he's got this sing-songy voice that is just fun to listen to. So,
And is still active today, and not only active, but actively not embarrassing himself. So I think that helps a lot too. And you kind of look at these guys and you think, oh, they need to go ahead and hang it up. They don't really have it anymore. Or just go completely wild. And you're like, well, that really tarnished their legacy. And he's just been a class act all the way.
So there's one last just single song I wanted to mention that has nothing to do with the topic of the episode, but it just was one that has been on a mixtape of or a mixtape,
Oh wow.
playlist
All of a
for
sudden it's 2001 again.
Exactly, yeah. But no, it's been on a lot of my playlist over the past probably 3 months now. Greg introduced me to this. It's a band called Vanilla Fudge.
What?
And yes, and the song is You Keep Me Hanging On. It's actually a cover, and I cannot remember who the cover is of. But anyway, it is a really cool psychedelic rock song, but it's got like this wonderful funk underneath it. Like it's very of its time, but it's amazing. And it made me so happy. I once saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And this song was in that movie, literally like a week or two after Greg introduced me to it.
Like the cover
So,
version of it was?
yes, yeah, the Vanilla Fudge version.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was really cool. So, if you haven't heard that, it is so unique. I definitely recommend anybody check it out. I might have thrown you off with the psychedelic rock reference, but like, there's a lot of stuff in there. It's more, I would say, it's more soul and
Oh, so
influences.
this is an old song. The original, which I think what you're talking about is the song that people are more familiar with, the version people are more familiar with. So, You Keep Me Hanging On, 1966, by the Supremes, and
Okay.
then Vanilla Fudge. It says they covered the song a year later. So, we're still in the '60s, and that was kind of the more, I guess, rock or funk version. So I was thinking this was like something that just happened. Again, this shows I know things about two bands, so don't hold it against me. I'm like Vanilla Fudge, but and this is one of those things that we were talking about, I think, pre-show also, is that you hear not only song titles but band names, and if they didn't really particularly register other than having a hit or a few hits, you're like, I don't know if I've heard that, or I don't know if I've ever heard of them. And you go, oh yeah, these guys are this song. And yeah, that we just had one of those. I just had one of those moments, certainly.
But yeah, if you check it out, watch the video because the video is incredible too. But yeah, the name Vanilla Fudge does make me feel like a white rapper would have used that name at some point. And he probably would have been along the quality lines of a rapper that most everybody else has forgotten about, but Little T. Do you remember Little T? He was I wouldn't even call him
Faintly.
one hit wonder because I don't think that song was very popular with anybody other than me who just thought it was hilarious. But it was called Shaniqua. And the whole gimmick is he's calling and asking for Shaniqua, or somebody's calling him and asking for Shaniqua, and he's informing them that Shaniqua doesn't live there no more. It is one of
What a
the
premise.
dumbest, it's one of the dumbest songs ever. He is not a good rapper. And I remember I bought this album, luckily used, for like $3. But yeah, that's what Vanilla Fudge brings to mind. Like that would be something like that, even though it's not. So anyway, enough with my random stuff. I guess I could get to the point of the show.
Yeah, do we have a point? It's okay if we don't, probably.
anybody that knows me probably
I've
wonders.
exhausted my knowledge of music anyway, so it's all bets are off from here.
Well, actually, yeah, I'll go ahead and mention this real quick. So I also listened to a new show recently that's actually not on our feed, which is why I'm going to mention it now, is the editor of my show now, Andy Helene, does a show called A-Sides Now, which is a music podcast. It's on his own, their own little feed, and it's him and his friend Brent. So you or Brett. I'm bad about that. I think it's Brent. Anyway. It's pretty cool. It's very different than my show. They go extremely in depth on so far new music, like as it comes out. So if you keep up with current music, all different styles, definitely recommend checking that out. I've been enjoying. I think I've listened to two of the three so far.
Okay,
So
very good.
anyway, this episode is about the 80s. It was spawned by, of course, if you've been keeping it with Place to Be Nation at all. I've been doing an 80s tournament. And so when I mentioned to Tim wanting to have him back on the show, I asked him what he wanted to do. And he mentioned this as a possible thing. And I'm like, great, because We just have been diving through this for a month and a half or two. It's been a while.
Yeah, I was just looking. We ran on Place to Be Nation the greatest song of the 80s tournament. So folks remember the candy tournament, the greatest candy in the world tournament from the spring, which was quite epic. Followed that up with this songs tournament, and it looks like it kicked off. I'm on the Facebook page now, literally trying to go back to the beginning. There's been a great many posts. Kicked off on June the 12th with these
Oh, wow.
matches. Yeah, that's how far back this thing goes, and that's how long we've been participating. But it's a pretty epic tournament, so you got to give it some room to stretch out.
Right. It brought a lot to it brought a lot of songs to my attention, songs that I wasn't aware of or hadn't thought about in probably 15 years. And so it's been a lot of fun to do that.
Well, and this was, it started with, I believe, 512 songs, if I've got my bracketology correct here. So if you have a favorite from the 80s, it probably was in there. I don't think there were a lot of oversights, although we can get into certain, if you're a fan of particular genres. There's been accusations of a Northeast bias in this tournament. So, if you're a big country fan, not going to see a whole lot of country represented in this tournament, unless it was like a major hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And sort of same story, like metal, although I don't know.
There's a
I
little bit
think
of
I.
talk in there.
Yeah, I think I have some controversial takes on that, to be honest with you, because my attitude when I look at this tournament is I kind of mentally insert the word pop. I say greatest pop song of the 80s tournament, which is not what it's called. It really is just greatest song of the 80s, but I just think of stuff and there's a good bit of Metallica represented here, and that's fine.
And there's some Motley Crue in there,
There's some
and
Motley Crue, there's some Judas Priest. It's like, okay, I get it. But it's like you're not really gonna hear them in the club in the 80s. You know what I mean? So,
right.
do I wish that they had been excluded? Maybe not. I don't know. I'm of two minds there, really. It just, I will say that there were some artists, some songs that I think went way too far, right up and including the very probable winner as of this recording. So, yeah. How do
Well,
you,
that kind of leads me to what I was going to even ask you is when you think of the 80s, like what is your preferred type of 80s music? Is it, does it go more pop? Is that maybe
Yeah,
why you're
it is
thinking
more
that?
pop. It is more like dance mu music, something you can really move to. It's also, I think of, especially for something like a tournament, I feel like your winner should be either something from a big, major, iconic artist. We're talking like a Michael Jackson, Madonna, David Bowie. Or Prince, somebody like that who you think very iconically 80s had this huge output of 80s singles, really anything from them from the 80s, I'd kind of be okay with going all the way in this tournament. Or I could look at it and say, if it's not going to be one of these major acts, then give it to like a really prominent one-hit wonder. Something, a song everybody knows, really good, really popular, even if you don't personally particularly like it, would still make sense to win the tournament or, just to throw on like an 80s playlist or mixtape to use the preferred vernacular on this podcast right now. But yeah, that's kind of my take. I don't want, like, if I'm gonna sit down and listen to 80 songs, I'm not gonna be like, okay, give me some Metallica, which I know I keep going back to, or like even Van Halen, which total 80s band, right? But
Oh yeah.
that's more of, okay, I'm gonna make a hair metal playlist, you know, not so much in just 80s hits playlist.
Well, unless you go to the song like Jump. Jump is so poppy.
Yeah, true. I would make an exception for that. I would not have more than like two songs from like any given hair metal band, probably.
So no Twisted Sister or anything like that.
I could go with We're Not Gonna Take It
Okay.
if we're talking Twisted Sister, but that's it. I mean, what else did they really? Well, I'm not gonna go there and demonstrate my ignorance.
I really don't know much about them. Actually, one of my friends met the lead singer at some biker charity one time and said he was a really nice guy.
D. Snyder. He oddly enough, he used to host this kind of Morning Zoo style radio show in the early 2000s, like year 2000 to 2002 thereabouts. And the only reason I know about it is because for whatever reason it was syndicated here in Richmond on one of our local rock stations, like around the time that they had flipped format from more like just kind of hard rock to, I don't know, alternative, whatever you call it back then. And so they syndicated this radio show, and I remember listening to it every morning before school, and it was actually kind of a, well, I'm saying this through the lens of like a 17-year-old, so what do I know about taste? But it seemed like a pretty good radio show at the time, and then it got replaced by something else. But he's a pretty intelligent, pretty thoughtful dude, D. Snyder of Twisted Sister, which might not be your first impression from.
Yeah, not what you get from watching the music videos or seeing him in
No.
footage of him on stage.
Right.
But yeah,
But yeah, that's my
yeah,
Twisted
kind of
Sister
big into
story.
them. What?
That's my Twisted Sister story connection, I guess.
Okay. Well, so I guess to give it a title, we're talking 80s. I kind of like 80s tastic, excellent adventure. And it's totally awesome. I don't know what all things we should put in there,
Yeah.
but that's
Well,
a mouthful of
the banner is I love, well, it doesn't say the 80s. We're missing the article, but it says I love 80s, and perhaps this is because VH1 has the market cornered on the I Love the Decade series. Remember they used to do those,
Yeah, I do.
I love the 80s and then I love the 70s. I don't think they ever did one in the 60s. They did the 90s. They did the 2000s in like 2009. So that was somewhat unique.
I love that we did
Yeah.
in the 20s. I think that'd be very entertaining.
Get all those talking heads back.
Yeah. I don't have the official thing pulled up in front of me, so I don't remember everything that was in it.
Sure.
But are there any songs that didn't make it, or that you think should have?
That's what I was looking for. And it's hard to go, like, you almost have to make a list of all your favorite 80s songs, which certainly could be done, and then check them against were they in this tournament. And that's just not something I have done. Especially like maybe if we had like the brackets right in front of us, but again, we're talking 512 songs, and to really go dig into that history would be more of an undertaking than I think you or I are willing to do on a
Course.
Saturday.
It would be a 5-hour podcast or anything.
Right. So I don't know that there are any like obvious glaring omissions for me, like in terms of just favorites. My if I have a bitch about it, it's just that I don't like the probable winner at all, and I think that a lot of my favorites did get knocked out pretty early. And I know we joked about this on the first show that I did with you, like the love I have for Steve Winwood growing up, how my mom would blast Higher Love when she's cleaning house on weekends, and this is like the first thing I'd hear waking up on a number of Saturday mornings. So I have always had very fond feelings towards that song and much of his catalog, honestly. And he does fit that description of someone who is very iconically 80s. You can dance to all of it. Sort of steeped in that 80s consumerism and excess as well, just feels very of the culture, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
If that even evokes anything.
Well, it
And
seems like something. It seems like the character from Patrick Bateman from American Psycho would have liked it.
right. Yeah, you
I
do
can
get
bop
that.
to it.
So I don't know. I wish he had gone a lot further. And on that episode where we talked about Steve Winwood a little bit, I think was our Jimmy Eat World episode. I believe that listeners heard more Steve Winwood incidental music than they heard Jimmy Eat World. So perhaps on this episode you'll be hearing more Jimmy Eat World music. Maybe that would be appropriate. But no, I wish he had really hung in there a bit more. I mean, not only Higher Love, like you had the Finer Things, you had
Roll.
Roll With It, yep, which was an early favorite of mine.
Oh yeah.
Valerie was in here too. So it's not like he wasn't well represented. He really was. So I think Back in the High Life.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, it was great.
And none of these, I'm not sure exactly where they went. They did not make like the semifinals, in other words, right?
Right.
So that's a little bit, not that they maybe deserve to, but I don't know. I just looking at some of the stuff that let me actually do a little search here. Why don't we call that audible here? And it's so this is a really good example of what I'm talking about. Higher Love got knocked out by Van Halen's Panama
Oh my God, no.
handily. Yeah, I think this was one I actually commented on because I was so outraged. I had some strong words about this one. I knew something knocked it out that really pissed me off. And yeah, that was it. So once again, like, okay, I'll give you a jump for Van Halen 80s tournament, but does Panama really need, I guess, but come on, just consider your choices. I'm not saying that anyone's opinions are wrong or invalid, but I am saying you're a bad person if you voted for Van Halen against Steve Winwood. Just consider your choices, consider the kind of person you want to be, consider the world you want to live in, is all. I mean, reconsider your entire life. That's all I'm asking. But
Had a
yeah.
special note about Steve Winwood. I mean, I planned on mentioning him anyway because I was sad to see him eliminated so quickly. I couldn't remember exactly when or what took him out, but I remember it being very shocking. But I watched the Transformers movie Bumblebee recently, and Higher Love is in it, and I almost hopped out of my chair. I was so excited to hear
That's
it,
great.
and so I was so happy to hear it. Like that is just a song that I love, and it's actually. I know I was aware of it, but after Tim mentioned it on, I guess, a year and a half ago when we recorded that episode, I've become much more fond of it. And it's one of those that I go back to pretty regularly because, as you'll hear me mention later in this podcast, or probably periodically on this podcast, 80s music is something I use to pep me up a lot. And Steve Winwood's great at that. Like, I can be in a really crappy mood and I throw on some Steve Winwood, and I'm going to be in a good, well, not a good mood, but a better mood.
A better mood.
Yeah, pretty easily.
Well, it's a shame that didn't get the Bumblebee bump, I guess.
Right,
That's
yeah.
a pretty popular movie. People seem to enjoy that. Hadn't listened to the song, hadn't heard the song in a while. More fresh in your mind. And that's the other thing. Some of these artists that, and I'm not really talking about Steve Winwood here so much, shifting gears. Any artist that has unfortunately recently departed, it got kind of what I call the death bump.
Yes.
So I think Prince kind of went further than he might have otherwise. Not undeservingly at all, but I do think that was probably a factor. Same story, I think, with Queen. I mean, Freddie Mercury's been dead for years, but you had Bohemian Rhapsody, right? And
Right.
pretty fresh in people's minds. Michael Jackson over 10 years dead and a pretty likely candidate to take the tournament anyway, but is sort of held in a different esteem now. I don't think he got the oh, how to put it, the sexual misconduct or abuse bump with that recently coming back into the news. Maybe didn't
Right.
help his standing so much,
But it didn't seem to hurt it that bad
but
either
didn't seem
because,
to hurt it that bad.
I
No.
mean, there's songs in here, and I'm not pulling it up right this second, but I remember seeing PYT, which I had no clue what that was until I listened to the song. And that stands for Pretty Young Thing, which is extra creepy when we're talking about Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
sorry, I went there. But yeah, it was
Yeah,
just
uncomfortable.
like, this is a decent song, but it's not an all-timer for me. Like, it's not something I would even think of with any regularity. And same with, there was another one that actually had a really good groove but had no business making it far, and I don't think it made it that far, but there was one called Gotta Be Starting Something, and I'm like, either I'd never heard of these songs or it had been so long, like I was just shocked that they were in there. It felt like there were probably entire albums by Michael Jackson in there, just about.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I don't actually mind so much with Michael Jackson. I mean, come on, the king of pop, right? And kind of deservingly so, is a fitting title for him. You look at Thriller by itself spawned what, seven singles? I mean, for seven songs from an album to chart and pretty healthily at that, is phenomenal. So,
Oh, yeah.
excuse me, for someone like that, with that kind of output and with that kind of success, certainly in terms of like pop chart standings, I'm totally cool with basically any and every Michael Jackson song being in this. But yeah, there are some that you kind of forget about that maybe you haven't heard in a while, or just that aren't really standards, which was part of the fun of this tournament, was rediscovering things and going, oh yeah, that, I forgot how much I like that. And again, those moments where you see the song title, you see the artist, and you're like, I have no idea what that is. And you click it and go, oh, yes, I do. I'm going to vote for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at his singles from Thriller, and I don't think I'm familiar with Human Nature, but that was one of the singles from it. But Billie Jean is one I would have been happy to see win this, or if not, like come in the top five or something. And I don't
Yeah,
know
I would
where.
have bet on Billie Jean or beat it, quite honestly.
Yes.
And yeah,
Because
I
those.
mean they went to probably the semifinals. I mean, look, I don't know if beat it did. I think Billie Jean did. He was hanging in there for some time. But yeah, I mean, Thriller, let's see, when was it? Yeah, 1982. It's and that's the other part of it too that I kind of look at. Anything from the late 80s, my cutoff is probably 1987. In
Oh,
terms
wow.
of thinking of the 80s as a decade, I'm like 88 and 89, yeah, they're part of the 80s, but they don't really count. It's just, it's too close to the night, like things had change too much. And I guess that that kind of evolution of music and in of interest just within that 10-year span is pretty remarkable. And maybe you don't say that about, oh, I don't know, year 2000 through 2019. How does it really compare to these other decades where you have just such a wide variety of tastes and genres overlapping and coming into the focus? It's just kind of, I don't know, popular music sort of, there's been a flattening effect, I think. And I'm not saying that in terms of like the music is flat or better or worse than some other time in history. Like, I'm not trying to do a get off my lawn thing. It's just, you don't see that kind of variety anymore, I don't think. So, right. And maybe this is my bias is showing. I don't care so much for that stuff towards kind of the tail end of the decade. A lot of stuff from 1989, you would think, oh, this was from the early 90s, you know?
Yeah, it depends on the song. Some definitely were starting to channel that new sound, and some were definitely steeped in the 80s style. It just
I think Paul Abdul is kind of like that. She's sort of the one I go to when I hear anything from Paul Abdul. I don't think 80s, even though it was maybe released in 88, 89, I think, oh, she's from the early 90s. I don't know if that's just me or what, but yeah, I kind of look at that early 80s to mid 80s. I can go up to 87, but I don't want anything from 88 or 89 going too far in this tournament. Which, again, we're looking at the finals. It was, I don't know what happened. I just don't.
Well, this song, I don't remember if it was in it or not, but Greg and I heard this last week at Barbie's, of all places.
Oh.
Was Islands in the Stream. Do you remember if that was in there? I mean, I'm not asking you to look. I'm just curious if you remember.
No, I will look, actually. Was that in the 80s? Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yep. It, okay, well, this was a tight matchup here. So you had Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton's Islands in the Stream. A lovely song that it is.
From 1983, looks like.
Mm-hmm. So right there. Up against You've Got Another Thing Coming, Judas Priest. So Judas Priest beat them 52% to 48%. I'm on Facebook, by the way. This also ran on Twitter, and I don't have the Twitter results in front of me. But I know that You've Got Another Thing Coming advanced in this tournament over Islands in the Stream, which, what a bizarre matchup. How do you even...
That is amazing. I remember if it did happen, I knew, and which it did, I knew it must have gone and get something weird because that happened several times. But You want to know who wrote that song? I don't think I ever knew this, but when just listening to it in the restaurant, I kind of called it out, and then I Googled it and was shockingly right. The Bee Gees wrote this song.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah. And the verses, you can hear that in. The chorus sounds so different. It really doesn't sound so much Bee Gees 80s style, but the verses, you can hear it in it. So
did they perform it ever, or was it just strictly written for another artist?
It looks like Bee Gees did record it at some point in 2001 for some reason when they did some special edition.
Very
it doesn't
cool.
look like it was done before that.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those, I don't know how well kept of a secret it is, but like if you're a songwriter, like apparently that's where like the money is made in music. Like short of being, you know, a record executive or something like that, it's not so much as a performer unless you're really cream of the crop. But as a songwriter, like, sneakily good money in that. It, just because something really takes off and you get royalties and no one ever knows that you were even associated with it. And if you kind of
Right.
like that, if you like money and anonymity, it seems like a perfect place for somebody who's really creative and poetic.
Right. But yeah, that's just a song that came to my mind because of hearing it recently.
Of
But
course, the
I would
Bee Gees
hope to make
performers in
it.
their own right, but just saying, if they were like, I thought it was going to be like some obscure songwriter or something you hadn't really heard of, but I'm like, I know if that was the case, then they're sitting pretty today.
Exactly. So what's something from the tournament that you were really happy that made it, or feel like got eliminated too quickly, or just something you have strong feelings on?
I guess we should just go ahead and talk about our projected winner. It has
Okay.
not been officially announced, but I mean, it's up there now on the tournament page. Again, on Facebook, the voting has closed. So, I mean, this is done. It just hasn't been made official yet. For the championship, we had Journey's Don't Stop Believin' against Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. And looking at the results, Sweet Child of Mine handily beat Journey, 66% to 34%. So I guess this means our winner of the tournament is Guns N' Roses, which triggers my hair metal distaste and disdain, I suppose. Another
Yeah, because
one
I'm like,
that it's
I'm looking.
fine as a song. I just, how are you gonna, how is this gonna win your greatest song of the 80s tournament? Come on.
Well, I mean, what aren't you glad at least it wasn't Paradise City or Welcome to the Jungle or something like that that I would imagine would trigger even more with you because it's
Yeah,
got.
I guess so. Marginally, I don't think that philosophically, I just don't think that kind of band or those kinds of songs should be allowed to win. I just there, I said it.
Well, I was looking at Twitter, and yeah, Don't Stop Believin' barely beat it on Twitter with 53%. So yeah,
Yeah.
that disparity between the Twitter and the Facebook numbers definitely looks like
And the
it
difference
should be.
between like my philosophy towards this and just my personal preferences. I don't really love Don't Stop Believin' either. I know a lot of people do. It's one of those songs that I think I grew to dislike over time just because it got kind of overplayed. Remember the Sopranos finale, like the fade to black and that's what's playing. Sort of
Oh.
left bad taste in mouth, let's say. And then I think they might have even been that same year. This is like 2007, maybe 2008-ish. It was in like the first episode of Glee, I think, which is a show I never much cared for. And it's
Right.
got I just kind of got sick of the song. And
Right. Oh, I did too. Even Family Guy featured it in an episode that for some reason I saw multiple times.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was just sick of hearing it. And like, if I went karaoke anywhere, somebody did it. Like, they
Yeah.
would do that song. And it was just like, it's a good song. I actually do like Journey, but I'm sick of that song, pretty much.
Yeah, and it having said that, as sick of the song as I am, if that had won, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. It's Journey, it's a popular song. People always really go up for this. I can see that winning this tournament. It's a little bit of a, it would be like kind of an outlier, but still wouldn't shock me, and I wouldn't have like a fundamental issue with it the way I do with Sweet Child of Mine winning. And no one seems to be happy with this outcome either, so I don't fully understand how
Oh,
it
is there a lot
happened.
of comments? Are there a lot of comments on
There's not a
Facebook?
lot of comments, but anyone I've talked to, this is very anecdotal, of course, is sort of like, yeah, I didn't vote for it, and I didn't really think it should win, so I don't get it. But maybe we've had this big outpouring of GNR fans like spamming the vote or something. Now I'm conspiracy theorizing. Look at me. We've
Well,
gotten.
Tim, I'll break the news on this live while we're recording. I voted for Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, God.
I'm a
How could you? You're part of the
I
problem. You're part of the
I know.
problem, and you've invalidated our democracy. The democratic process is canceled. We can't do this anymore. We can't do tournaments anymore. That's what it is. This has ruined tournaments.
No, that is one of my favorite songs, at least from that era, especially of rock. So it was a very easy pick for me. And like I said, I mean, I like Guns N' Roses a good bit, but that was one that I felt was poppy enough that it kind of felt semi-appropriate in the competition.
Okay, so we are philosophically opposed then.
I mean, I
Which
wouldn't
is
have.
fine. Which is fine. It makes for good conversation and argument. It hurt feelings potentially.
Hey, at least let me go to another one that was off that album. At least it wasn't Mr. Brownstone. I mean, can you imagine if Mr. Brownstone, a song about heroin, won the 80s tournament? That would have been interesting.
I feel like that. I could allow it for so the 90s was more of the heroin decade, at least in my mind. A song about cocaine winning the 80s tournament
That's true.
would be a little bit more appropriate, maybe.
And maybe that's secretly an Appetite for Destruction. I just don't get the references because I don't have a lot of cocaine knowledge, as
No,
far
I can't
as
say I have a lot of
terms.
cocaine knowledge either.
Well, that and also I can't always understand what Axl Rose is saying. So,
Yeah, there's that.
but yeah, I love
I had a funny
so.
thought. I'm sorry. I just ran in with that, but I was like, maybe is this a case where Guns N' Roses is getting a death bump too? But I was like, oh wait, Axl Rose is not dead.
No,
I
he's
just
fat.
forgot.
He's not dead. He looks very different. I think he had bad plastic surgery as well. I mean, he looks horrible, but
I
he's
just
alive.
seriously forgot he's not dead. Wow.
Yeah, they actually just had a which this could have helped them a little bit. They just have had a tour within the last year or two, and it's actually been successful. I don't know if it's been any good. The little footage that I heard was not good footage of him. But that doesn't mean that he can't sing good. If you ever listen to the album that he did by himself, called Chinese Democracy, that would make you think he can't sing because that sounds awful. He sounds like Dracula on there. He sounds like
Sounds like Dracula.
he does.
I'm
There's
trying
one.
to. I'm like, what does Dracula sound like if he's singing a rock song?
Well, there's one part, and
Hypothetically.
I know I'm going to butcher it because. My impressions are horrible, but I remember there was some kind of line of it would, but I don't want to do it, is kind of how he sounded when he delivered some line on Chinese Democracy. And I just
Very
remember
Bela
giggling.
Lugosi.
Huh?
Very Bela Lugosi of him, apparently.
Yeah. But yeah, I just giggled a lot to that. And I remember Greg and I kept going back to that one over and over again. That's one of the worst albums ever released. But anyway, it wasn't the 80s, so I shouldn't go off on it too far. But that's,
It's fine.
Axl Rose is definitely still alive, and
Oh.
Slash is doing really well for himself. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, another feather
That's
in their
true.
cap. They have won our greatest song of the 80s tournament. Looking at the semi-finals, it's a little bit more promising here. You've got Prince, Purple Rain. Purple Rain went the farthest of any Prince song, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, not my favorite, but again, no issue there. Was up against Eye of the Tiger. So, Eye of the Tiger making it all the way to the semis. That again, sort of fits my very narrow-minded criteria for what should be advancing in this tournament. Would you say that Eye of the Tiger is a one-hit wonder? Is there anything else by Survivor that comes to
Oh
mind?
gosh, there's not anything that comes to mind. I have no clue if they had any other hits.
Okay.
Let's see if,
I might be
because I've
demonstrating
been used in a
ignorance
commercial,
here.
So annoyed by that song, so I didn't vote for it.
It did
Blood
not
Type.
win, but I mean, I would have been fine with either one of those. I think I'd give the edge to, I would rather see Prince advance, which he did, over that. So yeah, I mean, that was our, I guess, third place.
Looks like he had they had another song in Rocky IV called Burning Heart.
Oh, the montage, right?
I would imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to actually have to look at that right after this recording because
Yeah.
that sounds
Okay.
right.
I don't know if that was in the tournament.
I highly doubt it was.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing though. We had Hulk Hogan's Real American. Well, he doesn't perform, it's his theme song. So, you know, this is, you have to consider the source a little bit here. I'm not knocking it, don't get me wrong. I don't know if I
That's how
voted
far as it went. I knew it was like,
right.
well, definitely tell this is wrestling fans because I could not vote for that song in good conscience, and but it knocked out so many things.
So that would that be your biggest kind of like, okay, what are we doing of this tournament? It's just having that go as far as it did.
It blew my mind. Yeah, I was very morally opposed to it.
Morally, okay.
Well, I mean, not morally, but I sat rocking in the corner, just like this isn't right.
It trampled Rick Derringer's or excuse me, it is Rick Derringer. It trampled Once Bitten, Twice Shy by Great White,
Okay.
which I don't, that's fine,
Yeah, I
whatever.
don't have feeling for that really.
Let's see what else. It ooh, so this, wow, okay, controversially this was very close. Real American 51% to 49% took down Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, yes, that was the one. That was the one that pissed me off. Because that is a
That's,
legitimately
I mean, that's
good song.
bullshit. Let's, I'm sorry, I just blew the podcast clean rating, but that is bad
No,
right
don't
there.
care. Yeah, that one made me very mad. I actually have that on my list of songs that I felt should have gone a lot further. I didn't think it should win. I'm realistic that Bruce Springsteen wouldn't win, but yeah, that should have gone further.
That's really bad. That's okay. So the cracks were showing pretty early in this tournament, let's face it. Let's see, when was the, yeah, this was back in September that happened. So let's see, how did it perform over some other favorites? Oh, this one's kind of funny. Parents just don't understand. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince also lost to Real American.
I
Optics
can
on
accept.
that one. The optics there are not real good. I'm not gonna lie, but I don't know. I've never really loved. I can, I understand it being in this tournament, but that's one I don't personally have a problem with either. So,
Yeah, that didn't bother me. I like Will Smith well enough as a rapper, but he's nothing. I wouldn't consider him extremely iconic. I consider him a iconic in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but
yeah,
my parents don't understand, not at all,
not
really.
not as a performance, not as a musician so much. It also defeated Keep On Loving You, REO Speedwagon.
Oh,
That's pretty bad too.
that one made me pretty mad as well, because I expected REO to go a little further.
I'm just cracking up because I just keep seeing over and over this icon of Hulk Hogan with a guitar in his sunglasses. Running wild on all these 80s hits. So, and I think that's, yeah, that was pretty much the story of that song. I didn't really have an easy path, and for it to for it to beat, I almost feel like I need to double check that. I think on Twitter, actually, I think that Bruce Springsteen might have taken it down. For it to be so close on Facebook and not seeing the Twitter results, I don't think that song actually advanced over. Let me see if Dancing in the Dark is here after Real American. I think it is, which would make me feel a lot better. Yeah, that was I remember that being quite controversial. So okay. Dancing in the Dark did, correction, I stand corrected, mercifully defeat Real American.
Okay, good.
Although it did lose to Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time, which is fine. No issues there.
So how do you feel about taking a real quick break and coming back, and we'll dive into some other thoughts on this 80s tournament?
I think it's a fine time to take that break, get ourselves some relief, calm down a bit.
Yeah, I'll use that time to calm down over that horrible,
Yeah. Then get ourselves
horrible.
worked up all over again.
Yeah,
And then.
exactly. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over two dozen podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We're back with the second half of Sunday Groove. I've still got Tim with me. I haven't run him off, even though
No.
we've had some different opinions here.
Yes, and I have not been kicked off either after the shocking revelations of our differences in the first half.
Yeah, he didn't rage quit or anything like that, and
Nope.
I didn't kick him out.
Nope.
So let's tell you what's going on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. First off, check out the weekly show. So that's just the tagline. Good old me for reading. All right, the Hard Traveling Fanboys continue the Long Book Hunters escapades, reading a Legion of Superheroes story called the Darkness Saga, the Great Darkness Saga. And didn't they? What did they just do? They just had one that dropped yesterday. Do you know what that is off the top of your head, Tim?
I have not listened to the show yet,
I haven't.
but I
Let's
am
see what
looking
my
forward
thing.
to it because of what our friend Greg told us we could look forward to on that show. So let's see. I know that it
Oh,
has
oh
dropped.
my gosh. Looks like it's Fear of the Walking Dead off the page.
Ah, yes, it's Walking Dead month now. It is the month of October. So, yep.
Okay, yeah, it is October. Okay.
Starting Walking Dead month on the Hard Traveling Fanboys. Very good.
Yeah. And just since it's there, I'm reading it right there. Check out the Vince McMahon directed by David Lynch series on YouTube. You will not be disappointed. We've been watching those and laughing a ton lately. So if you need a laugh, check that out.
Vince McMahon as directed by David Lynch.
The music is beautiful. It's mm-hmm. And his voice is interesting in that. So back on track, sorry. DC yeah. for you, off a month of DC Comics best horror offerings with a list of Russell and Todd's favorite scary DC stories, plus a look at Keanu Reeves' Constantine film from 2005. Ooh, I doubt that
yes. age. Yeah, in the midst of the Keanu-sance that we are experiencing now, that's quite appropriate.
It really is. Then we have This Week in the NFL. Hits weekly as well with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother-Sister Rewatch podcast. And on this episode 18, they bring you The Office Season 3, Episodes 7 and 8. Jenny and Miranda share a huge announcement on Geek and Sassy number 36. And they reveal the winner of their giveaway contest. Mm-hmm. And didn't they just have another episode just dropped as well just a couple days ago? Am I misremembering on that?
Yeah,
their CW episode with Russell actually came out this week as well. So
yes, that may have been related to their huge announcement, which is I don't want to give away the announcement, but
well, I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's
I guess
okay,
it's
isn't
happened
it?
Already. Yeah. So Jennifer Smith, who co-hosts Geek and Sassy, of course. And is my co-host as well on the show and some of the shows that I do, has started her own podcast feed called The Jenny Position. So this is not Place to Be Nation. It's not wrestling. It's not pop. It's literally called The Jenny Position. It is a podcast feed, still very much affiliated with Place to Be Nation. This was not like an acrimonious split or anything along those lines. It's just she's really been expanding her output of shows, getting more involved as well on the engineering and production of her podcast also. And it just felt like something that was a really long time coming as she kind of expands the Jenny brand, so to speak. So all of the shows that Jennifer Smith hosts or co-hosts on Place to Be Nation Pop are now carried on the Jenny Position, and that does include Geek and Sassy. And I guess I'll talk about it, how it affects me at the end of the show.
Yeah, and it looks like Geek and Sassy 37 came out in the second, and that's the CW preview focusing on, I think, just the comic book related ones, because I know Russell's on there, and I imagine him talking about many of the other shows on CW. I definitely know he does not like Riverdale. Anyway, so on the next, we have on Laugh-In Theater number 12, Andy Atherton brought me in to watch So I Married an Axe Murderer. And if you've never seen that movie, I suggest you actually go watch that movie. Don't just I want you to listen to the episode. Obviously, it's something I'm on, but you need to watch that movie. It's really funny. And as the last time I checked, like a week ago, it was on Crackle and Pluto TV for ads. So you will have to deal with commercials, but you can watch it for free if you don't want to spend money to watch the movie. But if it's something you haven't seen, it's really funny. It's kind of got a crime noir feel to it at times. It's very different. So anyway, that's that. Then on Looking Forward, Looking Back, it's the summer movie recap and wager results. Andy is joined by Miranda, Scott, Tim, and Russell to see who won.
That was a lot of fun. I will say, spoiler, I did not win the the summer movie wager in this little contest that Andy Atherton hosted, started in the summer, which we all got together and said what we thought the biggest box office performers were going to be, gave our top 10, and now we find out who was on the money. I did okay, I'll put it that way. I was not disappointed in that outcome, unlike the greatest song of the 80s tournament. I mean, I would have liked to have won, of course, but I'm okay with how that ended up.
Yeah, and it would help if I'd actually read this whole thing, because some of this stuff is covered. I just realized so as I'm reading ahead the second. All right. Greatest song of the 80s tournament continues, or I guess it continues.
Apropos, but, huh? it's wrapping up. And
You can only action on Facebook if anything else pops up. We think it's the end, but if it's not, there's maybe one more to go. And I know there's another tournament coming up soon. It's not been announced yet, but please check in on that. It's fun to participate, and it's even more fun when there's a lot of people participating, because it affects the numbers, and it's good to have the cooperation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is covered on here, the brand new podcast feed that Tim just mentioned, the Jenny Position.
Yes.
Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, and Freak Out Driving will be in there, on there, and along with some new content. Yep. Oh, this. Okay. For the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding our first annual Halloween movie challenge. We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to the All Hallows Eve. And when you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag Place to Be Nation Halloween Movie Challenge, or PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But why stop there? Every time you watch a scary movie or silly horror movie, or special, let us know and we'll add it to the list. And the silly Halloween ones actually are more my cup of tea. Like, I like some horror movies, but have you ever seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Tim?
Yes. Years ago, when it around the time it first came out, I think I want to say when I like signed up for Netflix streaming, that was one of the first things I watched.
So did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty decent. I can't remember a lot from it, but I remember enjoying it at the time. And I know it's got kind of a little bit of a cult following to it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I forget about it occasionally, but I've seen it two, maybe three times. Mm-hmm. And it's been long enough that I'm definitely going to watch it again, because it is currently still on Netflix.
Fun horror comedy, certainly.
Right. Have you seen The Babysitter? It's also on Netflix.
Yes, I just watched that last year. It took me a while to get around to it. I was like, oh, I don't know, is this really going to be my cup of tea? But yeah, it was a good use of like a Sunday afternoon. You know what I mean? It's not going to knock your socks off, but you're not going to be worse for having watched it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's fun enough. I think the big selling point for it for me was Stephen Amell's cousin Robbie Amell was in it.
Yes,
and I'd wanted to watch something of his.
And he spends a good deal of that movie shirtless.
Yes, it does.
That would interest anyone.
So I guess that's it on the pop feed part. So what's going on the wrestling feed?
So, on Place to Be Nation Wrestling, our sister feed, we have on the mothership, Place to Be Podcast, JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo. They began a new decade. They are moving into the 1990s now. Steve Bennett joined them for the January 15th, 1990 MSG House Show. The Wrestling War Zone is back. They are on episode 30, talking about WCW's Clash of the Champions 32. So check that out with JT and Chad. We also have Main Event with Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve previewing the Wednesday Night War that has recently started here between All Elite Wrestling and NXT. Wow, what a week of wrestling we just had, wrapping up as of the time of this recording. So much to say on that. Plus, they had their New Japan Classic match pick on Main Event. Benzani interviews Ian Rick Abani plus Marco and Logan Stunt on episode 23 of Row 1, Seat 1, and they welcomed Impact Wrestling's Ethan Page. It's a very special episode 24 of Row 1, Seat 1. So, of course, we've got every Wednesday on PlaceToBeNation.com the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web as curated by Glenn Butler. This in his weekly walk around the web. College football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crosland have their weekly campus hot takes looking at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column. That is every Tuesday afternoon. And if you are doing online shopping over on Amazon, click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use the URL placetobenation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to the Amazon portal for Place to Be Nation. Helps you out for no additional cost. Helps Place to Be Nation for no additional cost to you, I should say. We have our social media presence as well. Message board at bigelow34.proboards.com. And there you can get information on joining the greatest WWE wrestler, greatest WWE pay-per-view and TV match project, not wrestler. We did that already. So get in on that conversation and start researching your list. We do have, as part of this GWWE greatest pay-per-view and TV match project, a live watch Facebook group, very informal, about once a week. We get together and kind of put together a loose playlist based on what people feel like watching. Again, very, very informal. But if that is of interest, you can let me know and I will add you to that Facebook chat. Just look for me on my, you can find me on Twitter at CYKE68 on Twitter, or you can hit me up on Facebook Messenger. And I think that about does it. Does it not?
I believe so, yeah. So something I didn't mention in the first half is actually newsworthy, and a couple songs I'm going to mention is The Cars. Wasn't it the lead singer that died recently?
Yeah, Rick, what's his
name? Pasek.
Yes. I was about to say Akasek.
Kind of like an octopus.
I always do that with them, unfortunately. How often do you say that name? So
it's definitely not one I've said very often.
No.
But I was going through, actually, I just realized some of the songs I like by them are more the 70s songs.
That's what I was going to say with The Cars. There's so many, they were kind of ahead of their time. So many of your favorites by them sound like 80s songs, but were yeah. late 70s songs.
My God, yeah, My Best Friend's Girl is from 78. It sounds like it's an 80s song.
Mm-hmm.
Just along with Let the Good Times Roll, yep. and Just What I Need. Both are 1978. But they do have some songs from the 80s.
Moving in Stereo, also from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I was going through the tournament going, where are all the Cars songs? And I was like, oh, they were the 70s, so of course they're not in this.
Yeah, they had a couple of really good ones off the album Shake It Up from 1981. Mm-hmm. They have Shake It Up and Since You're Gone. Both are really good.
I really like them. I've always really liked them, in fact.
Yeah, they're a band. I know I reference them a lot, but Greg got me into them. I know I'd heard some of their stuff before, but I think he got me to appreciate them even more.
Yeah, because you forget like how many bangers they really had.
Yeah, I'm looking... And then we got Drive was on their album.
I was going to say, when was Drive? That was in the 80s, right?
1984. Yeah, that was the year I was born.
Hmm. Wow. Let's see how Drive did in the tournament, actually. Hopefully pretty good. But you never know with this thing. Hmm. I'm not finding it. Had to be in here. Well, it's possible this. It's possible that Drive did not make it out of the first round. Which is probably the only reason. It either wasn't in here or it didn't make it out of the first round. Because a lot of those first round matchups, I don't have the post fully expanded to see everything that was really in there.
Right.
So, but it, I mean, it had to be in this tournament. There's no way that could be an oversight. Anyway, professionals that we are. I'm seeing She Drives Me Crazy a lot. Fine Young Cannibals when I search for Drive. Which might be an exception to my late 80s bias, honestly. Wasn't that an 88 or 89 song?
I don't remember. I mean, I remember the song, but I don't remember them very much.
Right. One hit wonder.
She drives me to Mr. Google. What year? 88. Yep.
There we go. So, yeah, it did all right.
But yeah, if you've never experienced much of the Cars music, I recommend. I downloaded their greatest hits this past, like, whatever day he passed, I do my typical weird thing that I do and listen to a lot of the music. And so I got their greatest hits, and it's all pretty much bangers. Like, there's some ballads in there, don't get me wrong, but like, it's good stuff.
So you're saying you gave them a death bump?
Well, if they, yeah, I definitely. They're Amazon members, and if they'd been in the tournament, I think they probably would have felt a death bump.
Very good.
If they'd been this portion of it.
Yeah. I like it. I might do the same, to be honest with you.
What about Hall & Oates? Do you like them very much, Tim?
I do, but I'm never going to be like, oh, I'm really in the mood to listen to some Hall & Oates. It's more of a... Like, if they come into the rotation on something, I'll be like, yeah, but I'm not, like, a huge Hall & Oates guy. And okay. I know people who are. Are you?
Yes, I'm a huge Hall & Oates. Okay. They've actually been on two of my lists so far on my show. I keep their greatest hits on my phone at all times because that is one of the biggest pep-me-up music groups that I have. Songs like Kiss on My List, Rich Girls, You Make My Dreams. I love that one. Private Eyes, mm-hmm. I Can't Go For That. And of course, cannot forget Maneater.
Oh, yeah.
That's just such a catchy song.
I feel like they should have done better, too.
Yeah, that was one band that I actually tweeted out each time that they had a matchup trying to help them win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like they didn't... Did they make it out of the first round of their region? I would hope so. They were part of the Panama region, by the way, for what it's worth. Why don't I start?
I saw Maneater within the past month. Okay. Feels like, it was in recent history. Like, feels a lot more recent, but... That's
yeah.
the only one I can think of.
Yeah, admittedly, I don't know that I've entirely given them a fair shake. I think they've got a ton of songs that, while none of them I would consider like favorites, are so good that I probably, I don't know, maybe I should sit down with some Hall & Oates someday.
I mean, I don't. Do you dance on your own? Like when you're listening to music, do you ever?
Do I dance on my own? Do I want to answer that question? I'm considering whether I want to answer that question honestly. I guess.
I'm not asking the David Bowie song "Dancing with Myself." But that actually,
right? Literally.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you catch yourself getting into songs and moving around?
Sure. Yeah. In the quiet of my house, with headphones on, I've certainly done that.
Okay. For me, that's just a band that I can't help but do that.
Yeah.
So actually a song that's not 80s that you should really check out if you haven't heard it is Sarah Smile, and that's from 75. Mm. And that's a more soulful song.
Now, how do you feel about Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters knocking Maneater out of this tournament?
I was angered. Like, I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I like this song, but I'm sorry. Bustin' makes me feel good. Just that tagline, just the thought of that. Beating Maneater hurts me. It really does.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Ghostbusters just
lyrics alone. It's like.
Yeah, and plus Ghostbusters is sort of a, let's face it, it's kind of a novelty song. I mean, it's fun, but
right.
Are you really? I don't know. It's a pretty once a year kind of song. Is the way I would describe it.
Exactly. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, if it was a greatest theme song tournament or something like that, I could see Ghostbusters going a little further and deserving a little more, but it did sadden me to see it be Maneater.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the whole controversy with Huey Lewis in the news, you know, did they, or did Ray Parker Jr., who ripped off who with this?
Right.
And it's just, but that was the quarterfinals, actually, of the Panama region. So it looks like that was the last stop for Hall and Oates. And yeah, Maneater advanced the furthest for them until that point.
I think that explains some of the sadness in John Oates' eyes on this picture I'm looking at right now.
He peered into the future and knew.
He did.
Comment from Chad Nickel on the outcome of this. The worst Hall & Oates song is still better than Ghostbusters. Yeah. Pete Barker responded, I agree, and I hate Hall & Oates with the heat of a thousand suns.
Wow. How does it feel that strongly against them? That's interesting.
I don't know, but how must they feel about Ghostbusters if they feel that way about Hall & Oates? Anyhow,
right.
Now I'll tell you, a tough matchup that I just saw was Don Henley's The Boys of Summer, which I know a lot of people really don't like him and don't like the Eagles, but really don't like him outside of the Eagles.
Right, right.
I mean, I guess I've never really had a problem with it, but I do like that song a whole lot. It's sort of, I don't know, like, kind of cliche as it is, it's another one that I'm like, when I think 80s, I really think of that song, Boys of Summer. Mm-hmm. And it went up against Phil Collins, Call It in the Air tonight, which, wow. I mean, I think you have to give it to Phil Collins, but that was one that kind of hurt me, because I didn't want either of them to lose.
Right. Yeah, that was a difficult pick. I had to go in the air tonight as well, but
yeah.
But I was saddened.
It won. It pretty much crushed Boys of Summer. It felt like, God, does this match really need to happen? I wish they were like on total opposite sides of the brackets here. I was sort of surprised that In the Air Tonight wasn't, I won't say a finalist, but is another one that, especially in recent years, I think has sort of, it never really went away, but it has kind of come back around in the collective conscience, so to speak.
Yeah, it's been used in a lot of stuff. I can't remember what those things are, but I definitely remember within my lifetime that being like resurgent every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, this is going on 10 years already, but I remember the big scene in The Hangover with Mike Tyson, of course.
Right.
Sort of brought it back around for a lot of folks, where even though it was played for laughs, people were like, yeah, it is kind of a jam-up song.
I just love the wonderful 80s sound and drums in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird. I have a love-hate relationship with that sound. but it works so well for Phil Collins and some of the other 80s bands. Mm-hmm. When I hear it used more in modern context, it annoys me. I'm like, why don't you get normal sounding drums that actually sound like drums?
Yeah.
But in the 80s, like, that was a thing. That was a huge thing.
I'm kind of good with it, but I mean, I kind of like a lot of synth and electronic stuff,
right.
Which is why the 80s are a bit of a sweet spot. So yeah, I didn't have a problem with it then, don't have a problem with it now. So yeah.
So do you have any other bands that didn't make it or didn't make it far or something that you want to highlight?
Not as such, other than, I mean, you can get into personal favorites all day, but I don't think any others that I can really launch into like a passionate defense for. Tom Petty is one that's kind of similar to the Cars, where he doesn't have any all-timers for me, but I just, it's hard to find a Tom Petty song that I don't like at least a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I probably is not that for most people, but I've always been pretty into Tom Petty, and I wouldn't even say that he should have done better here, but I don't know. It's just kind of an excuse to talk about Tom Petty a little bit. and again, people who are no longer with us, sadly.
Right. Well, I was shocked that Free Fallin' didn't go a little further. I know that's in your threshold of almost 90s, because that's an 89 song, but
is
that
it really?
Was just such a...
God. Man. I'm going to have to make an exception for that, too, because that's a great song.
Yeah, I was looking at that album right before we started recording, and that album, it was his first solo album. It's called Full Moon Fever. It has Free Fallin', I Won't Back Down, and Running Down a Dream.
Jeez, I would have thought all of those were like early 80s. Wow, I'm way off.
Well, there is a really good one by him that sounds the most 80s of any of his stuff. And that is You Got Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yep.
And that one's very synthy. That's why I say it's the most 80s sounding of his. And I don't remember if that was in the tournament. If it was, it got eliminated pretty quickly. Okay. That was from 1982.
I mean, in fairness, Free Fallin' went up against Thriller, the song. So, yeah, it's a little bit hard to get behind, but so much. I'm trying to think of anyone else that... You know, how about, what are your thoughts on Foreigner?
Foreigner?
Mm-hmm.
I love them, actually.
A little bit overplayed, like you hear them 900 times a day on any classic rock station, of course.
Right.
But it's not really their fault. And they've, another one that had just a ton of songs that you know and you sort of forget about. But then you go, oh yeah, Foreigner.
Yeah, I mean, Cold as Ice is the one that almost always comes to mind immediately.
Mm.
Double Vision.
It's funny, I bring them up because I want to know what Love is. I'm noticing now Lost to Free Fallin'. So you got some Foreigner Tom Petty action here.
Oh, it looks like a few of their songs weren't eligible, because actually a couple of these were 78. I did not realize
right.
that.
Yep.
Hot Blood and Double Vision are both 78.
Somewhat Cars-like of them.
Right. Man, even this 79 album of theirs, Head Games, the artwork makes me think of the Cars just because of the scantily clad woman on the cover.
Hmm.
And it had Dirty White Boy in Head Games.
No kidding.
It's such a great title. Oh, yeah, 4 was their big 80s album. What does that have on it? Urgent. Oh man.
Yep. There you go. Prime example.
Yeah. Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Mm.
Jukebox Hero.
Yep.
Yeah. Any of those I would have been happy to see go further.
Nice.
Yeah. They have such a great lead singer. I know the original one's left and they got a new one like 10 years ago, and he's He's pretty good too. I'm not sure if it's quite the Journey situation where I feel like he's extremely, extremely close, but it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Did Steve Perry ever go back to Journey? I totally lost track of their history.
I don't think so, because he just released a solo album very recently, like within the last year. I know he did not get in. He was there, but he didn't perform with them when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Like, he spoke, but they sang with their original singer at that time.
Hmm.
Okay. I know I heard somewhere he blew his voice, and that was part of the reason why he stopped.
Oh.
During his solo career, I believe. I don't think that was during Journey.
Yeah.
But he does have one of those iconic voices that they kind of last forever. But
yeah.
It's blowing it out is a very real thing, too. You sing like that all the time.
Oh, for sure. Talk about playing to the cheap seats. You know, wow.
Okay, I got to ask you about this. What are your thoughts on The Cure Love Song? Do you like that?
Ooh, yeah, I do like that. I like The Cure.
I'm thinking that might be my opening song for this episode just because it's got such a good groove, and I always try to open up with something really strong.
I like that. Yeah, I like that idea a lot. They're kind of The Cure. They're sort of emo before emo was a thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm pretty into that. Not going to lie. I used to get defensive about that, and I finally just gave up that fight.
Oh my God, I'm looking at these pictures of their hair. It's amazing.
When was Friday, I'm in Love? Was that? I know that was an 80s song. Was that late 80s? I feel like it was.
Ooh, I'm bad with the 80s. Let's see.
I know these are things that are easily verifiable, but...
I'm glad. Oh, that is 92.
Jeez.
How?
I know. How is that possible?
I mean, this image from Facebook definitely seems like they're still channeling the 80s.
That's wild. I never would have thought that was a 90s song. I mean, I guess I questioned it enough that I had to look, but... Okay.
Now, here's one I didn't
realize. Yes, I can't complain about that not being in the tournament.
Bust a Move by Young MC.
Yeah.
I believe I just read earlier, it's 89, I think. For some reason, I thought that was like early 90s, but
yeah.
Do you like that song?
Yeah, I don't know that I voted for it. Another one that I don't really firmly associate with the decade either.
Oh man, it's got a great title to the album, Stone Cold Ryman.
Nice.
But yeah, that was when I was just going through things, and that was one that stuck out to me. That's one I enjoy. I put on a lot of playlists, and I do dance too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's somebody I got to mention. I know we've talked about him some in chats before, is John Mellencamp.
Oh yeah.
Love. He's got a cornucopia of hits from the 80s.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorites.
I just thought what? Of the YouTube video that we watched.
Oh, you're talking about when he was just John Cougar?
Yeah, when he was John Cougar.
With the guys tuxes behind him.
Yeah. The talk about dancing with yourself. somewhat unique dancing going on. What was that even from? We should tell people what we're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, actually, let me just pull up YouTube. It's probably recommended still.
It should be recommended to everyone.
It is amazing. He actually, in that, makes me think of myself. I'm not kidding at all. Like, just the awkwardness of the dance moves.
Right, right.
And actually, I've gone through and watched it's called Ain't Even Done With The Night.
There you go.
Yeah, go on YouTube, look for the live version. He's in a red suit. You will not be disappointed if you spend 4 minutes and 40 seconds and watch the whole thing, because I've never seen interpretive dance mm-hmm. for a sax solo, but it happens. by a guy in a pink tux.
The whole thing looks like some kind of alien dispatch, like a transmission from another world that's maybe an approximation or an interpretation of American culture or music. I don't know how else to describe it. It is so bizarre.
I feel like, I know Greg and I mentioned that we feel like he probably fired his agent immediately after that performance.
Right. One
word. Why am I on the stage with these dudes in pink tuxes?
Yeah, talk about somebody who really kind of reinvented himself by necessity after that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's one of the worst things ever. And I don't remember how we even became aware of it, but it's been something I watch probably at least once a month now and have for some time now. Yeah. And anytime I'm around somebody and we have some time that we can hop on YouTube, I show it to people all the time just because it's so weird.
That's tremendous.
But of good songs by him, I think of Hurts So Good, Jack and Diane.
Yep. Jack and Diane looks like it went the furthest for him.
Yeah, and I get it. That's an incredible one. And do you know the song Hand to Hold On To?
Yes. Yes, I forgot that I did, but now that you mention it, right away, it kind of fired up in my head.
Yeah, I went through probably about 10 of his, maybe not 10, but several of, probably at least 5 or 6 of his songs on YouTube not too long ago, and discovered I knew more of his songs than I thought I did.
Yep.
And really liked them. And if you want to watch videos with him dancing in a field, his early 80s stuff, it's a great time for that, because I'm trying to think what song it was. There was one that was hilarious. He kind of channeled some of those Ain't Even Done With The Night moves a little bit. Like, I just feel like one of somebody should have told him, like, John, can you dance a little less?
Or not at all. Maybe just sway. Maybe just do a little comfortable sway.
Oh, my God. He has an album called Big Daddy from 89.
Ooh, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that one, but... But if songs I like by his for real, I made a playlist earlier. Also put Small Town and Pink Houses. You mm-hmm. might not think you know that, because it's such a kind of dumb name for a song, but...
You know it. Really, you definitely know it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so catchy.
And Authority also, song. Lone... Authority song as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking very striking in his denim. All denim.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to mention another person that had a very denim look, and if I could wear jeans like that and look like that, I would have done so, and that is Bruce Springsteen. I know off air we're talking about the Born in the USA cover.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I ever had a butt, like, I'd wear jeans like that. But that's not the case.
How does he not go a lot further?
I don't know. Like, I really thought Born in the USA or Dancing in the Dark, I thought would have gone further. What else was it?
Glory Days.
Oh, my God, yes, Glory Days. That's off that album as well.
Yep. He's jumping on all his album covers, by the way.
Dude, he's still jumping at least 10 years ago. He was still jumping on stage in his old age.
Nice.
Did you watch the Super Bowl that year that he performed?
I can't remember.
He did
Sounds
an awkward,
familiar.
He did an awkward knee slide, and luckily he ran into the cameraman. Like, he pretty much got his crotch ran into the camera. But I'm sure he's very thankful for that, because it kept him from sliding off the stage.
Wow.
Like, he got momentum than he meant to. And, I mean, this is just probably 10 years ago, so this man was not young at this point. So he probably would have had... you know, major injuries if he'd fallen off the stage on his knees.
Yeah. You need some old man awkward knee slides in your life.
Yeah. I'm on Fire, dude.
Oh, that's my favorite of his. How could I forget?
Yeah, I listened to that last night, and I was really digging it.
Such a simple, minimal kind of song.
Right. I know Garner used to point out the high note in the background. The it's very different than his normal style. Mm. So, yeah, he was somebody I wanted to throw a little love to that should have gone a little further, but definitely had a very 80s sound on that album in particular. That one was 84.
Well, we talk about in 84. I mean, that's really 84, 85, 86 are like the 80s to me. and I don't know why that is. I mean, it's right smack in the middle of the decade, of course, but it's just, that's sort of when I think of the best stuff of the 80s as being, which I don't even know if it's accurate, honestly, because I've learned some things that I thought I knew in the course of doing this podcast, some misconceptions that I had. But, yeah, Springsteen 84 is just, man. But, yeah, I guess maybe that's part of this so-called regional bias. Like, I don't know. How well does Bruce Springsteen really travel? Like, is he really huge in the Deep South? You'd probably know better than I would.
I would imagine the Southeast does pretty well, because I know at that point he was very working class looking.
True.
And I imagine that going over a lot better. But I don't know, honestly. I don't really hear a lot of people other than Greg talk about Bruce Springsteen these days.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned Greg a lot to listeners. If you didn't know, I've known Greg for a lot of years, and I see him in real life pretty often. So that's why. But yeah, I don't know. He's not somebody I hear talked about nearly as much as others.
Yeah. Similar to that. How about Billy Joel? Once again, more of a Northeast kind of guy. That
very, very big to him. I like him.
Yeah.
And I know he's talented.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not somebody I think of a whole lot. Or if somebody mentions him, hey, you want to listen to that? Not really. I mean, he's good.
Mm-hmm. And I feel the exact same way. Like, I had no problem. I like a lot of his stuff, but never really go out of my way to listen to it. And just for someone else to hear that would think we're completely crazy, I think. Because he's
pretty
huge.
He's got so many good songs. I mean, Piano Man, The Pretender. I mean, all these great songs.
We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, yeah. You know, okay. Talk about embarrassing things. I'm about to admit this. Do you watch The Office?
A little bit. I mean, here and there. I didn't really regularly watch it, but
I'm sure you've seen the episode where there's a fire in the office, and then Dwight thinks he's so clever, saying that Ryan started the fire.
Yes.
That joke never worked for me, because I didn't know that was a real song. Like,
oh,
I just,
really?
Being stupid. And that, for once, a Dwight thing didn't seem funny to me. And then, like, just probably a few years ago, I found out that was a Billy Joel song. I'm like, how did I miss this?
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, me being a music guy, I should never be admitting this, but I am.
Well, we'll see if it makes the show. You could always cut it out.
What are your thoughts on Spandau Ballet, True? Do you like that song?
Kind of. Not a favorite,
it's
I would say.
I'm aware of because of Wedding Singer. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Which is hard to believe that is, what, 20 years old now?
Yeah, it is. So I want to jump back to Jack and Diane for just one other little side note thing. Do you ever pay attention to the lyrics of that song? Like, I know it's one people can sing along
with. Yes, I do.
Well, I don't just mean the chili dog area of the song, but just like the song in general has some awkward stuff in it. But if you really pay attention, the chorus is kind of depressing.
Oh, yeah.
As
very
can
much.
Be. But I know I sang that song a lot in the past year, and I was just like, a couple months ago, I was just like, my God, that's depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how about I just dance to this song and not sing along? Because then I'm not as aware of what he's actually saying there.
I've always been sort of a low-key fan of that sort of contrast between the lyrics and just the beat, especially mm-hmm. when it's a really bummer song based on lyrics alone, but it's very sounds extremely upbeat. I guess because I kind of am a lyrics guy. I kind of scrutinize lyrics a lot to the extent that you can. Many times we can't understand what's being said, but if it's good, you just rock with it. But yeah, that's one that that's something I've always enjoyed about that. Just enjoyed in general, but enjoyed about that song particularly, that it is quite a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't notice that in other years, but it's just one of those things I kind of just listened along and didn't really pay close attention, because I'm back and forth on lyrics. Like, I, with me being a drummer, I pay more attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the style of singing or maybe the guitar stuff, like that's more of what I pay attention to. But like, if it's acoustic-y, of course I'm going to pay attention to the lyrics, because you know, what else is there? That's just I don't know, one I didn't pay a close attention to.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, just thinking of other, what about Sting and the Police, separately or together?
I like a lot of what I've heard of theirs. I haven't listened to a ton of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I'm aware of a lot of the Police song. I probably know less of his solo stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm sort of the same way. And I have the sense that I could probably get really into the Police. They seem like, I don't know, just what I have heard of theirs, I've been like, oh, yeah, that kind of really works for me. But I haven't done like a deep dive, like into their deep cuts. So if I did, I think I would be someone who was a lot more into them. Sting solo, I would say not so much.
Right. I'm looking at their singles right this second on Wikipedia, and this is pretty funny to see listed out. Da do do do, da 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 da. You're not listed out. That is amazing.
Yes.
But yeah, that's from 1980. Also, Don't Stand So Close to Me was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Several of the songs I know about him were actually 70s. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of know that about them.
Oh, man. Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic is 81. That's a beautiful song. I love it.
Yeah. Every Breath You Take, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think everyone has come around on realizing is not really a pretty love song.
Right.
But sounds like it.
Right.
All right. How about, kind of going big bands in a way, U2.
U2 is a band that I like some other stuff a lot, and then a lot of it just leaves me cold.
Okay.
What about you?
I bring them up because they're in a little bit of a similar vein as the Police. I know all their big hits, but haven't delved into the deep cuts, but think I would really, really be a U2 head if I did. And I don't know if I want to be. So maybe I've purposely been avoiding.
Perfect album to listen to is their most iconic, The Joshua Tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Garner mentioned it to me, I guess, about 2 years ago, and I listened to it all the way through several times, and it is definitely my favorite of what I've heard, because it's got With or Without You, still haven't found what I'm looking for, where the streets have no name. I mean, those are three amazing songs.
Yeah, just powerhouses right there. I mean, even my dad owns the Joshua Tree, and my dad is a very, like, southern rock kind of guy. And U2 was very much not that. So
right.
That kind of says it all for me, just in terms of the mass appeal they were able to achieve.
I'm just looking. They have tons of 80s albums, which I knew they had a few before they got big. They were pretty under the radar for a while.
Yeah, they were kind of like every year, every 2 years, one of those sorts of bands.
Yeah, it looks like
which
that.
Is hard to... I can't imagine where... just cranking stuff out like that and having it be good.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people that release albums that regularly, it's not good stuff. Mm-hmm. Or it's like one of those things where somebody else writes it and brings it to you so it doesn't take that long to put together.
With or Without You lost to Summer of 69. That
saddens me.
That's unfair. That's unfortunate.
I don't like Summer of 69. That's,
no?
to me, the most overrated songs. Like, it's okay, but...
I like it, but not anywhere in the same neighborhood as With or Without You. This might have been one that... Actually, this might have been one that the Twitter votes floated you to. They might have survived that. So I'm kind of speculating. But on Facebook, Summer of 69 won by a comfortable margin.
So based on your earlier comments, I don't think you like Aerosmith. Would that be accurate?
I don't like them for this tournament. For the purposes of this tournament. They're on their own. I have no strong opinions on them one way or the other, really. But I don't really like them for as a tournament favorite.
I guess I can give it that. They didn't stand a chance in the tournament whatsoever. Even songs like "Love in the Elevator," or "Do Like a Lady," which I mean, I know that's a ludicrous.
They're kind
song.
Of a ridiculous band, in all honesty. I think I don't really understand their popularity. They're almost a weird sort of watered down American version of the Rolling Stones to me.
Have you ever listened to their 70s stuff much, though? Let me ask you that.
No, admittedly, no, I haven't.
Okay, because I think that's where my love of them comes from, because that was my first knowledge of them, was a disc of their 70s greatest hits. But I do have a soft spot for their late 80s when they came back after some obscurity with some really bad releases in the early to mid 80s.
Yeah.
I really love Ragdoll and Angel from that same era, from 87, 89, around that time.
Okay.
Did I mention, or did we talk about Aha, Take On Me? I don't think we talked about this.
Oh, no, but that's a good one for the one-hit wonders category.
Yes. Have you ever heard the acoustic version of that song?
I think I have. What I'm thinking of, it was used in something that I watched. I think it was in the third season of The Leftovers.
Oh, okay.
Which is a show I think I mention on every freaking podcast that I do without meaning to. It just always comes up somehow or another. Yeah, was it that acoustic version or just the original song? I don't know, but I know that song was in the show in an episode during a pretty pivotal scene in the third season of that show, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I've always just loved that song. The video is incredible with all that artwork and everything. Like, just the amount of time and effort that went into that is just incredible to me.
Yeah. It but does look very, I mean, even for the 80s, it looks pretty striking and cutting edge.
Well, even watching it today, like, I'm still like, that's really cool. So yeah, definitely take into where it was, you know, when it was made. Yeah, that's one I wanted to mention. I knew it was in the tournament, but it's just one of my personal favorites. And I guess other than Queen, I know Under Pressure, I was very happy it made it there, because to me, it's always been, to me, it's the most iconic of their 80s songs.
Yeah.
Like, because with Queen, I mostly prefer their 70s stuff, but of the 80s stuff, that one's really great. And then I also love Princes of the Universe, that was in the Highlander show.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or the Highlander movie also.
That might be my favorite Queen song. Look, I'm not really big on Queen. I think I'm someone who likes Queen more in practice than in theory. Reverse that. More in theory than in practice, excuse
me. Okay.
that was a mind bender. No, they just don't quite click with me, but I certainly have an appreciation for what they did, and I think that song from Highlander is sort of, if I had to pick a favorite, it'd probably be that. As cheesy as it is, it's more of a feature than a bug.
The most amazing thing about that album is the fact that they use some sound effects from the movie in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's seriously a song called Don't Lose Your Head. Like, they really, I don't think they had a clue what was going on in 86 when they made that album.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, Prince of the Universe, I thought was a solid song, and Who Wants to Live Forever, that's a beautiful song from that album in 86, but Don't Lose Your Head, it's just like, are we really putting this on the album? Like, isn't this not just something we did as a joke?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the only other things I wanted to throw out that either didn't make the tournament or didn't go as far. I also mentioned or thought about Def Leppard, but you're not a fan of them, are you?
Not generally speaking. I think I have less of a dislike for them than some of the other, I don't know. Do we call them hair metal? I don't think that's probably fair to Def Leppard. Maybe. Are they a hair band?
They became a hair band. They started out, from what I understand, their early stuff was actually more metal. And then when they wanted to become more successful, they definitely played it up a lot more with Pour Some Sugar On Me and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're a hair band. Let's face it.
Yeah.
How about, going in a totally different direction, Toto's Africa?
Oh my God, how did I forget that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah. It made a strong showing. Finals to its region. Appropriately enough, in the Africa region.
I have some serious questions about how this was laid out.
Right.
Problem, but it's just humorous.
Mm-hmm. But it took Michael Jackson's Beat It to knock this out. So that makes sense to me. I can conceive of that. That's a universe that I understand.
right.
This outcome. That's a song that I think didn't. Weezer covered it.
Yes. And that's what I was about to ask you. Do you think that helped? Because I heard about that cover more than I've heard about pretty much any cover ever.
Right.
Like, it's just, at least in the short amount of time it's been out, like within the year or two it's been out, like everybody talked about it. And I'm like, and I listened to it, and I'm like, I mean, they didn't do anything new with it.
It just sounds like the song, right?
Right. So I'll go back and just listen to Toto do it.
I know.
Better. But I mean, do you think that helped it, though?
I do. I think it had to. It had to have an effect.
I mean, because it even got mentioned in that SNL skit with Matt Damon. Did you watch that?
Yes. Why does Weezer come up so much in SNL skits today?
Were they mentioned another time in SNL?
Yes. I'm thinking.
That's strange.
I can't even really describe the premise, but I feel like it's been at least twice, maybe more. Arguments around the dinner table about Weezer.
That is a dinner party I'd like to be at, though, for real. Like, just this passionate discussion of music.
Everyone has a hot take. Like, there's nobody that's just sitting that one out.
Because so often, if I'm in a big group and we're talking about music, it's literally like two of us, maybe four of us, but like at least half of them don't care at all,
right?
And they're just ignoring us. And so it's never going to be that situation where everybody gets involved and has that opinion.
Yeah. Yep.
I just had a complete brain fart. There was something else that came to mind kind of around that, and it left. It might be gone for good.
Was it another one-hit wonder?
I don't think. I'm looking on my list, and I don't see another one-hit wonder on there. Nope.
Okay. I mean, easily we could do this for 15 hours with this many songs.
I linked it a second ago, and I was about to wrap it up for that reason. Okay.
Not because we're out of subjects, just because...
No, definitely not.
Things do have to have an end, unfortunately.
Yes. Okay. Let me... Because I always forget this. My Twitter handle, it's SundayGroovePTB. And then on Facebook, I'm just David Sunday. You can find me in the Place B Nation Comics group. The 80s tournament, I was definitely involved in that. Whatever we do next, I'm sure I'll be in there commenting or at least voting. Next month, we'll have an episode with Greg, and we're going to discuss some... I'll just say we'll discuss some classic albums, I think, will be a big part of it. It's not technically the topic, but pretty sure it's going to bring up some of everything, but I definitely think it's going to veer classic, and I mean before 80s classic. So that's the little tease there.
Okay.
What do you have, Tim?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. I am, and I gave this out earlier, at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8 on Twitter. And the other pop culture show that I do was on Place to Be Nation Pop. That is called Talkin' Pop. I have one half of that with Jennifer Smith, as alluded to, coming back from the break. That is now part of the Jenny Position podcast feed. So, still Talkin' Pop, still the same show, still the same host, still doing the same thing we always do on Talkin' Pop, just on a new podcast feed. So no format changes or anything, but that's where you will find Talkin' Pop going forward. And we will have an episode for October. We have recorded it, so should be dropping, I'd say, any day now. Might already be available. So look for and subscribe to the Jenny Position on your favorite podcatcher app, as they say. I am one quarter of the Marvel Age podcast as well. That is still here on Place to Be Nation. Bup! And it's with Nick Duke, with Russell Sellers, and with the manager-owner Todd Weber. All the great, greatest and most infamous and sometimes worst comics from Marvel going year by year. We are on 1972, and 1972 is a three-part episode. We are trying to find time to come together for our second part, looking at 1972 in Marvel Comics. It's just, It's a minor miracle that four adults can, on a regular basis, having lives, having families, and spread across two coasts, can get together for podcasts. It seems like it shouldn't be a challenge, but it's one of the universal struggles, I think, of our age today.
It amazes me, especially right now, football season, and Nick knowing that that's what he's doing at least 2 days, if not 3 days, you know, with the, one of those days prepping for his adventure into football land. It's very shocking. And of course, Todd, being I think probably the busiest individual of all.
Yeah. And out on the West Coast. So it's just a lot of, there's a lot of variables to manage, but, we make it work. And, that is continuing throughout the 70s. So more to look forward to there on the Marvel Age podcast and on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. We have Talkin' WCW. That's myself, Greg Phillips, the aforementioned, often mentioned Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith as well. So the shows that Jenny hosts or co-hosts for Place to Be Nation Wrestling, those are staying put, not moving to the Jenny position feed. So that is continuing. But yeah, that's probably gonna do it for my purposes.
Well, thank you again, Tim, for joining me. I had a blast, as you could tell. I lost track of time, and
it's okay.
I was rambling at times, but
easy
I know I was.
Easy to do with a subject like this.
Oh yeah. So, thank you all for listening. Please come back next month, and I will catch y'all down the road. Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't explode. You got your hands in my back pockets, and Sam Cooke singing on.